Being a ministry wife is a vocation without a job description. And let's be honest, sometimes it seems like ministry might be easier if we did have one. If you are a ministry wife like me and are looking for hope, perspective, and a little bit of practical advice regarding your role, you're in the right place. Hi, I'm Christine Hoover, author of How to Thrive as a Pastor's Wife. Welcome to the Ministry Wives Podcast, a production of the North American Mission Board. Join me as we hear from women from various ministry contexts, having authentic conversations about our shared joys and challenges, even the ones we're unsure we can talk about. No topic is off limits. Today, my guest is Kristen Wetherell. Kristen is a pastor's wife, a mom of three small kids, a writer, and a speaker. She is the author of several books, including Help for the Hungry Soul, Humble Moms, and she's co-author of the award-winning book, Hope When It Hurts. Kristen also co-hosts Front Row Seat, an interview series for pastors' wives over at TGC. You're going to want to check that out. Kristen and her family live and serve in the Chicago area, where her husband is a campus pastor at a large multi-site church there. I asked Kristen to join me today to talk about when we find ourselves in places of feeling spiritually dry. Maybe we have small kids like she does, and it's hard to find time for time in the Word, or maybe we find ourselves in a place where we simply don't desire to be in the Word. What do we do? Especially as pastors' wives, sometimes we feel nervous to tell other women around us who can help that we are feeling spiritually depleted. This is such an important conversation because we've all been in a place of spiritual dryness before, and we probably will encounter those seasons again. So let's jump in. Here, friends, is my conversation with Kristen Wetherell. It's so fun to have my friend Kristen Wetherell on the podcast. Hi, Kristen.
Hi, Christine. I love this.
I love it too. I feel like you've been a friend of the podcast, or, you know, a friend of my writing, because you've been a friend to me over the years, kind of behind the scenes, encouraging me and me getting to support and cheerlead you as you've released books and all kinds of things. So it's fun to bring you on and let my listeners get to know you.
Oh, well, I feel like I get to speak right now to a friend and a mentor and kind of a writing hero. I mean, your books have just grown me immensely, and I thank God for you. So this is a privilege.
You. Yeah, this will be fun. I'm excited to get to talk to you. So how about you introduce yourself to the listeners and tell us about your ministry context?
Yes. So my name is Kristen. I'm married to Brad. And Brad, similar to your husband, is a pastor at our church, The Orchard. We live outside the Chicago suburbs in a town called Arlington Heights, Illinois. And he serves there as the campus pastor. And so I get to, you know, love him as his wife and serve as a pastor's wife in that way. We have three kids, a 6-year-old girl, 3.5-year-old boy, and a 9-month-old girl. So we are very much in the joys and trenches of the little years. I had a friend recently describe it as intense. And I was like, yes, that is the right word.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure every season is intense, but I've not walked through future seasons yet. So we'll just call this one intense. It's great. We are, you know, doing life here in Arlington Heights, praying always to connect with our neighbors and our community, have the opportunities to invite them to the church and to Christ. Outside of my local church and home context, I have the privilege of writing books and opening God's Word and basically asking the question, how does the Word apply to different facets of life? So I love writing. I love writing what God's teaching me. And I've gotten to write for moms, and I've gotten to write on suffering and hope and, you know, what it looks like to fight fear with the fear of the Lord and just anything that God's teaching me. I love to write about, which I know you do too. It's such a privilege.
Yes. Yes. I love, as writers, everything we write generally comes out of our own personal growth or what we're learning, what God's teaching us or challenging us about. And your newest book is called Help for the Hungry Soul, 8 Encouragements to Grow Your Appetite for God's Word, which is an amazing title and really a needed topic. And I would love for you first to just tell us why you wrote it. And then, because you have written it from personal experience, I want to hear about that too. But first, tell us why you wrote this book.
Yeah. Well, you know, my previous book launch ended. I was very much in a season of prayerfully seeking the Lord about what was next. And my husband and I were talking one night, and I was processing, you know, options, what I thought the Lord was leading me to, teaching me. And he just looked at me and he said, "Kristen, what do you want to write about?" Which is such a simple question, but not always easy to answer.
Yeah.
But the answer came so easily to me. And I, without even thinking, I just looked at him and I said, "I want to write about the Bible," which is funny because in a sense, I've always written about the Bible. But I really wanted to write about the beauty of God's word. And the background behind that is from my local church context, from visiting other local churches and having the chance to meet women, you know, there through speaking, being a Christian who is a pilgrim and not yet home, I have encountered so many of us struggling to hunger for God's word and knowing in our hearts that it's good for us, knowing that God commands that we pursue him in that way, and yet either just not doing it or doing it, but not having a heart to do it and a desire. So that's where the idea for Help for the Hungry Soul came from. It's not a how to study your Bible or how to read your Bible. It's a why book. I really wanted to look at the heart behind Bible reading and the motivation, because it's personally, it's just not always there. So that's the hope, is that this book really would encourage people toward a deeper hunger for the word.
And I like that we're talking to ministry wives about this, because I think a lot of times when we go through dry spells or we're feeling a lack of desire or we're not in the word, we don't really vocalize that to other people, or we feel afraid to vocalize that to other people. So I'm wondering if you could speak to that in terms of pastor's wives. What would you say to a pastor's wife who is really resonating with this theme of this book, and they're not in the word, or they don't really desire it?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd love to start by telling a story, because that has been me. And specifically, I'm thinking of one season of life coming up on 2 years ago. Our family had been sick because it was winter time for weeks on end. And when you have little kids, you just pass things around. We weren't going to church because of that. You know, my husband had to be at church. So we were home for weeks on end. Couldn't go to play dates or visit with anyone. We were sort of still in the, you know, the fear times of COVID a little bit. So people are really wary about sickness. And so we were just lonely, really lonely. On top of that, my husband and I experienced our second miscarriage. And so there is an element of suffering and deep grief and sadness. And the only way I can describe what I was going through is a type of spiritual depression. I wouldn't say that I've struggled with depression in other ways throughout my life, but this felt very, very poignant. And it felt as though the Lord was far away, even though I knew in my mind that he was not. And it felt like I was just dragging my heart along. Some days felt like, you know, the best I could do was kind of a flat emotional state. And on the worst days, I was a mess, just crying and feeling just so sad, even though I knew that all of these things were true about the Lord and about my salvation and about me in his sight. And one of the biggest challenges for me in that time was knowing how to take this to my life group, my small group. I'm in a small group of moms of young kids, so we're all very much in a similar season of life. But I remember the fear of wondering if I would overburden them or cause them to stumble in some way, because the pastor's wife was in this state. And so I really wrestled with whether or not to bring this to them. And yet I really felt like I had no other choice. I'm like, I'm kind of drowning here. And I was praying, you know, to the best of my strength and ability, but it kind of felt like my prayers were just bouncing off the ceiling. And so I first told my husband, and he was lifting me up in prayer and listening and walking with me. But I needed to bring this to the women in my life. And I was nervous the day that I did it. We were, you know, opening the word together. And I think we might have actually been talking about like Psalms of Lament. And it just seemed like the Lord was prompting me. You just need to ask for prayer. You cannot stand on your own. And it was amazing, Christine, because when I took that step to tell them what I was walking through, they surrounded me with love and with empathy. Everybody understood it in their own context. Everyone had walked through a degree of what I was walking through, whether, you know, a lesser degree or a heavier degree. Mm-hmm. And they prayed for me. They said the words and interceded in a way that I could not for myself.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen immediately, but over time, the clouds lifted.
Yeah.
The clouds lifted. And it's like I could see and feel the rays of the sun that were always there. But for a time, the clouds were just covering the sun.
Yeah. The same thing happened for me recently. And I felt like mine wasn't similar. So the same thing as what you're describing, but it was a lack of focus. It was like, I'm opening the word and I'm just, my to-do list is running through my head. I feel like I've got to hit the ground running and I'm not able to focus. And so I told one of my friends, and she's also a pastor's wife, and I just said, this is where I'm at. And just sometimes just voicing it to other people, it does something. And I can't totally explain that. But, you know, I think of James 5:16, confess your sins to one another and you will be healed. And what we're describing is not sin, but it is, we need help, the help of the body. And there's something about that just, I don't know, it clicked something over and it made me more intentional, I think, because I had voiced it and she would check in with me.
Yes.
And that was helpful.
So helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think the encouragement for pastors' wives is in this, you know, in this season of spiritual dryness, you will be tempted toward shame and isolation. When what will be most helpful for you is to run away from that and to flee it and to choose community and confession, because those things bring freedom.
Absolutely. So I'd love for you to kind of help us. I've described one kind of spiritual dryness. You've described a different kind. What are some of the signs that we should look for that we are moving toward a spiritual dryness or we're in it and maybe we're not even acknowledging that to ourselves yet.
Mm. Well, you mentioned focus, and I definitely think distraction is a huge symptom. And these things, you know, these things could be symptoms of other spiritual maladies as well, not necessarily just dryness. But I definitely think that they're involved. So distraction is a huge issue, especially for faithful believers in the digital age. We're so distracted. Our phones are dinging up a storm. And so every day, I think we have a choice to make. Which voice or which noise do we heed first? Is it the voice of the Lord or is it the ding of the phone? So I think distraction is a big symptom. If you're finding your heart and your mind pulled other places and the temptation is to go ahead and follow quite easily, I think that can be a symptom of a place of spiritual dryness. I think discouragement, similar to what I was walking through, you call it a depression or just discouragement. You know, we walk through seasons of everything from testing to deep suffering. And I think sometimes a lethargy of heart can come from a discouragement or even a deep tiredness of body and soul. You know, we're whole beings, we're connected creatures. The soul very much involves the body. And I have found that when I'm physically tired, it is really hard to feel lively about much at all. And we go through seasons, whether, you know, maybe you're listening to this and you're a mom of a newborn, so you know what that is. You are deeply weary and tired in your body and in your spirit. And it can feel like there is a connection between your fatigue and your spiritual dryness, for sure. Maybe it's a season of some burnout in ministry. It feels like you've been run ragged, run into the ground. That will, you know, that will speak spiritually. and will cause us to be dry. So distraction, think about discouragement. I think about the wrestling in our own souls with desire, because our desires are not what they ought to be anymore. Sin is deeply affected what we love. And so God created us to love him and to hunger for him. And yet because of sin, we tend to love and treasure things that are so much less valuable than him. And I actually just read a really great chapter in a book on temptation by John Owen, where he was talking about, you know, perhaps if you're walking through a season of spiritual dryness, you would ask the Lord to examine your heart for a temptation that you have entered into. It doesn't always have to be that, but it could be that. You know, Jesus prompts us to watch and pray. Why? So that we will not enter into temptation. And so, okay, maybe there's something there. You know, Lord, am I walking a path that you would not have me walk? Am I giving into something that would shrivel my soul and that would deaden my affections and dull, yes, you know, my love for you? So those are a few things that I can think of. I'm sure that that's not exhaustive, but perhaps that will be diagnostic for people.
I would also add aimlessness. Sometimes I tend to read books of the Bible just through and verse by verse. And sometimes I'm like, okay, I don't know where to go next. And I can let that stretch out too long, where I'm just kind of like dabbling in something and not going deep. And so there's a sense of aimlessness of what to study. What you just described, I've experienced lately in terms of Sabbath, where I think, okay, on Sabbath, I'm going to rest. But my idea of rest is I control that. I set the agenda. I'm not pursuing the Lord as much. I'm just, you know, physically resting. And so that's good. But the Sabbath is for the Lord. I just read Psalm 92 this morning. That is a song for the Sabbath. And it's focused on praising the Lord and thanking him for his work. And through his work, we grow and we're like trees planted. And so I find that to be also something that I would say it's temptation. I'm giving you an example of the temptation that I find is just to be like, it's okay for me to not really turn to him on the Sabbath, even though the Lord is Lord of the Sabbath. So yes. I think all these things are true, and I'm sure everyone listening can relate to these things. And so I'm wondering, when we notice these things, like for me today, the Sabbath, I noticed this about myself. Where do we go next? Mm-hmm. What do we do?
Yeah, I think probably the first thing to do is to confess to the Lord what we're dealing with. I think that's first. And similar to what we just talked about, I think the next step is to tell someone else. You mentioned what a strengthening balm it was to have a friend not only know about what was going on, but pray about what was going on and then check in about it. What a sweet gift from God. And that is the Lord at work, because the body of Christ is his hands and feet. So that's a way that God will answer our prayers for help and strength to come out of that season of dryness is through other people. But in a sense, I'm there right now, Christine. I would say it's very unlike that one season that I described earlier. But I do think there's been some flatness related to being tired. Our family's just kind of in a tired season right now. And I've just been a little disturbed by the lack of joy and gladness that I've seen in myself, whether I'm attending worship services at my church or I'm opening the Word. And so it kind of makes me think of the verse where the disciples say, Lord, where else can I go? Where else can we go? You have the words of eternal life. So my encouragement would be, you need to just turn to the Lord who feels far away, right? This is a walk of faith. It's not a walk of sight. And I actually just read, I would love to read this for the listeners. I was just in a psalm that was so helpful to me yesterday about this, Psalm 11, where David says, in the Lord I take refuge. Then he says about his enemies, how can you say to my soul, flee like a bird to your mountain? If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? In other words, where's the Lord? Where do you really have to turn? And David's saying, it's in the Lord that I take refuge. And then he says, the Lord tests the righteous. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds. The upright shall behold his face. And I wrote in my Bible, when the Lord tests us, he is loving us, not leaving us to ourselves. It feels like he might be leaving us. But his testing is an act of love. And I wonder if it's because he's proving our faith to be genuine. He wants us to draw near to him in every season, whether we feel like he's close or not. Mm-hmm. So that would be my encouragement, is if you're there right now, turn to the Lord who might feel far away, knowing that he's truly closer than your breath. And then turn to friends.
And just be honest with the Lord. Yes. I think that's hard sometimes when we feel that it's up to us to make our way back to him, or to find that desire, or to, you know, click ourselves on. And I think it's sometimes for me is just being honest with God and saying, this is where I'm at. And I don't want to be here, but I can only wait on you to move me and to change my heart. And so just being honest with him about that, I think, is so important. And like you said, other people. And I also find that something super helpful is doing something different. So if I feel stuck and I'm just like, oh, this has become rote, is to change things up a bit with what I'm reading in the Word, or maybe adding sometimes I'll read a chapter of a book after I read the Word. Something like that, even where I'm doing it, where I'm sitting each morning, changing things up often helps me.
Yes. Yes. And there's no prescription about this in the Word, right? God doesn't say, this is what it must look like to seek my face. He just says, seek my face. So I think that's really wise. If you feel like some of your spiritual dryness is because you're in a bit of a rut, then change it up. You have freedom to do that. And there are countless ways of seeking the Lord's face. I think that's really wise.
That's good. What about distraction? Can you speak to that? I think that's a very, very, very common thing. So do you have any thoughts, maybe even things that you've done to combat distraction?
Yes. It's a battle, like you mentioned earlier. My to-do list is running through my mind when my feet hit the ground in the morning. So I very much feel that struggle. What has been helpful for my husband and for me is to leave our phones in the other room. I personally don't use a Bible app or a supplemental app for devotional reading because it's way too tempting for me. That won't be the case for everyone. But I find that if I can get my mind renewed in the Word first thing, rather than being, you know, conformed to the pattern of this world on my phone, that's just a better way for me to start the day and kind of set my face to seek the Lord. So that'd be the first thing I would say, person before screens, the Lord before your device. Another thing that has been so helpful for me lately is to have a place where I can get all of my thoughts out of my head and down on paper. I'm a paper person. And so my husband just introduced me to this wonderful planner that I've been using. It feels so practical and I don't know, but it's just been such a helpful thing to me. And I was, lamenting several months ago, I just feel like my thoughts are swirling everywhere and everything feels like, it feels like I have more to do than I probably do.
Yes, yes.
And he said, so you'll be helped to just get it all down on paper. And I said, I just don't have a great system. And he said, well, I do. Will you let me show you mine? And I said, great. And it's been hugely helpful. So I would encourage the listeners, if that's you, maybe come up with a system, grab a great planner. I'm using the Full Focus planner. It's been really great. And I have found that I am able to focus so much better now, whether I'm reading God's Word or praying or just reading a book. It helps me to be more present with my family rather than thinking about all these other things. So I think those are two things that help. be aware of your screen usage and, you know, perhaps put together a system to organize some of those thoughts that distract.
Well, and even for me, sometimes I journal every day, sometimes writing out what I'm learning in the word, sometimes prayer. But sometimes if I feel like my brain's overloaded, I'll just jot some things in the margin. It's almost like releasing my brain from having to remember or think about it. Just, okay, that keeps coming to mind. I'm just going to write it down so I don't feel like I have to focus on it, because I can come back to it later, but it's distracting me from my time in the word. So I think that's super helpful. I think there's such a discipline to this. We haven't used that word yet, but there really is discipline involved. And it's weird to think about discipline and desire, but I really think they go hand in hand. Sometimes the desire is there and our hearts are just aflame for the Lord. And sometimes it's a discipline, and sometimes it's both. But I think if we're disciplined, we can kind of sit back and wait on the Lord to renew kind of the desire. But if we're not disciplined about it, it's going to be really hard for that desire to have any space to grow when the Lord turns that on again. Does that make sense, what I'm saying?
Yes.
So I'd love for you to speak to how discipline plays into desire.
Yes. Well, they're, like you mentioned, they're very much connected. We could maybe think about this in another realm. Let's think about eating well or exercising, right? So those are two very good disciplines that very much feel like disciplines, because when we first start, I don't want to exercise. It's hard to get going. It is painful rather than pleasant, right? And yet I find that once I get into a rhythm and I discipline myself to do the exercise, it starts to change what my body desires. It starts to change what my body craves. You know, in the illustration of food, if I'm eating junk, I crave junk. If I start disciplining myself to eat well, then I crave what my body knows that it needs. So I think one feeds into the other. I also think there's a wonderful, gracious cycle that God has given us that we see all throughout His Word, but especially in Psalm 119, where He's talking about the Word, this connection between you know, doing the discipline of thinking about God's word and meditating on God's word and abiding there and delighting in Him and in His word. So the more I meditate, the more I come to delight, and the more I come to delight, the more I want to meditate, right? And it just kind of keeps going. And the delight is something that only the Spirit can give us. It's not that I, in my own strength, am conjuring up this delight. You mentioned that earlier. This is a spiritual reality that has to come from God. And yet, it doesn't happen apart from the discipline. The discipline is the means. The means, we call it the means of grace, right? The means of grace that God uses to stir our hearts to delight in Him. So I think we pursue the discipline, knowing that even the strength to pursue it is grace. And then we receive the delight, knowing that that's a gift from God. That's all grace too.
Yeah. I like to think of it as putting myself in the path of God's speaking. So I'm opening myself up to Him, and the discipline of that is just is doing it. And some days I get so much out of the word and I am, you know, I feel so close to the Lord, and some days I don't. And sometimes I don't get much out of it, but I did it. I'm there. It's really just presenting yourself to the Lord and saying, I think of Romans 6, you know, present your body as an instrument of righteousness. You're just presenting yourself to God and allowing Him, if he has something to say, you're there. You're ready to listen. And as you experience Him speaking to you through His word, then you want more of it, just like you said. So I'm wondering what you would say. As pastor's wives, we often have women coming to us when they are spiritually dry or they feel that God is distant. And so what would you say about how we can walk well with other women through seasons of dryness?
Yeah. Well, it's a huge privilege to be able to come alongside another, you know, pilgrim in the way who's journeying home and wanting to walk the narrow road. And to be able to, you know, makes me think of Pilgrim's Progress, to be able to come alongside and kind of link arms and say, I'm on the road too. So they're coming to us perhaps, but, you know, maybe they think we have all the answers, maybe, but then we can come alongside and say, I don't have all the answers, but I can walk with you, right? I can link arms with you. I can hold your arms up in the fight. So I think that there's an opportunity to work out the comfort that we first received from the Lord. And I think every Christian will walk through seasons of dryness. It seems to me that from Scripture, it is a normal part of the Christian experience. And the comfort that we have received from God as we've walked through these seasons, we can then extend. We can then give. So even just asking God, Lord, who would you have me minister to today? Not because I have all the answers, but because you have helped me. Would you reveal who those people are? And then just making ourselves available. And I think oppositely, you know, if you're younger in ministry, my husband and I are relatively young in ministry, so we haven't experienced a lot that people further down the road have. I think it's also really humbling to realize in talking with others that that the situation could very easily flip, you know? And so I'm not only ministering to them, but I'm being ministered to. It's a two-way street. And so I can receive from how the Lord has comforted them and blessed them and learn from that and then be able to pour it back out further down the road. I would also say that the power of prayer is very real. And I shared in the story in the opening that it was the prayers of these women, I truly believe, interceding for me that healed and held me up. And so any opportunity that you have to pause right then and there and just pray for the person that you're with will bless them. And you don't know how God would use that in ministering to them and giving them grace and building them up. I find it really easy to just say, oh, I'll pray for you. And I, the heart behind that is really good. But if I'm honest, probably, you know, 8 times out of 10, I just forget. And so a wise mentor years back said, just pray right then and there with people. You could text them a prayer. You could say a 30-second prayer, but then you've prayed for them. You've lifted them to the Lord. And so I would say, you know, it's not just providing answers for people, because not only do we not have all the answers, but when people are in a season of dryness, it's not necessarily what they're needing most and looking for. I think they need our presence. They need our empathy. They need the Lord, right? So they need us to gently point them to Christ, and we can pray for them. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge gift.
That reminds me that you've done that for me sometimes over Voxer. You'll pray for me over Voxer or text or, you know, things like that. And that's always been such a blessing to me. So even over text, we can, like you said, we can pray for people. Kristen's book is titled Help for the Hungry Soul, 8 Encouragements to Grow Your Appetite for God's Word. You'll definitely want to check that out. But I also wanted to highlight that, Kristen, you have hosted a podcast for pastors' wives with TGC. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because I think my listeners will want to hop over there.
Absolutely. Yes. It's a video interview series called Front Row Seat Encouragement for Pastors' Wives. And you are a guest on that podcast. So we interview people like yourself, people who have been in ministry, you know, for a decade or several decades. And my fellow pastor's wife, Carrie Olson, and I just pepper you with questions because we're so interested to hear how God's been at work in your lives and in your ministry. And so our prayer is that the Lord will equip and encourage these pastor's wives or ministry wives to keep persevering for the long haul. So you can find that at the Gospel Coalition.
And you've written a lot of books, actually. So we need to know where we can find you online.
Thank you. The best place is my website, kristinwetherall.com.
Okay. So everybody go over and find all of the resources Kristen has created for us. Kristen, thank you for joining me today. I've loved having this conversation with you.
Oh, I've loved it too. Thank you so much.
Ladies, if you are a woman who leads in ministry, whether you're on staff or in a volunteer capacity, I would love to invite you to join me for the first National Women's Evangelism Conference in Alpharetta, Georgia, on April 8th and 9th next year. I know this event will encourage and equip you to create a culture of evangelism in your ministry. Register today and make plans to join us. Visit namevangelism.com/women-conference or visit the link in the show notes for all the details. Can't wait to see you there.